You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. I have a really special guest for you today. Today I am going to be talking to Jo Witten. She is the founder of Quirky Cooking and the author of multiple incredible cookbooks. And today she's going to be sharing her story with us about her son Isaac and how she supported him to heal and move through his challenging symptoms of OCD by actually working on his gut health. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, Jo. I'm really looking forward to having a conversation with you about this topic of managing anxiety through gut healing and physical healing. And I know you've got a really special story that I want so many parents to hear. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So can you tell, for those people who don't know much about you, can you just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do in the world?
Okay. It's always hard to know where to begin. I guess I grew up thinking that we ate very healthily. Well, we did really compared to my friends. But I was always sick. I used to be the one in the family that always got sick. So, and I was also the very sensitive one. So, I know that your listeners probably understand where I'm coming from here. I would cry at the drop of the hat if the teacher said to me, "Joe, be quiet." I'd just bawl my eyes out. I was always getting like histamine sort of issues, sinus issues. If I had food intolerances, I was underweight, sort of very slow to develop, was 16 or so, or nearly 17 before I got my period. Everything was very, it was just, it seemed like my sisters were completely healthy and fine and it was only me. Mum pretty much cooked everything from scratch. We had, you know, really good local seasonal delicious food, but there was a lot of sugar and white flour and that kind of thing, a lot of baking and sweets. And I was very addicted to sugar, which I didn't realize until many years later. If you would have asked me if I was addicted to sugar, even up to probably 10 years ago, I would have said no. Basically, what I do is help people to see ways forward when they're struggling with their health and they're needing their kids to be eating well, but they don't know how to get to where they want to be. I really love to help people to find that way, and that's through cookbooks and online programs and cooking classes and just everyday cooking videos on my social media, which are free to anyone, recipes on my blog. And also I run things like retreats and events and things to help people with that hands-on practical side of cooking.
Beautiful. And that's just so important, isn't it? Because it can be so overwhelming and It can be really hard, especially for busy parents who are already struggling with their kids' behavior and challenges, to think, oh, now I have to focus on the food side of things. So yes. I think that's such an important role. And we'll definitely talk about your cookbooks later because I've got them as well. They're amazing. So how did you end up figuring out for your family that there was this gut brain connection, like that there was this anxiety in your family and you said sensitivities and a lot of health issues? How did you end up linking that to the gut?
It's funny. Even when I was young, like in my early 20s or even late teens at uni, and I was having so much trouble with things like hormonal issues and period pain and skin issues and acne and anxiety and underweight and all of that, I just kept thinking to myself, surely there's something to do with food that I could do. And I went to a doctor and I went to dietitians, and the things that they told me to do didn't work, basically. I was told to sprinkle sustagen on all my food to gain weight. I was told to drink soy milk to avoid dairy. I was told to take different medications for my skin and for my hormones and go on the pill and do all these things. But they were all band-aid approach type things, and none of them were the long-term approach. And I kept thinking, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. I had this gut feeling that food was something to do with it. And then as my kids came along, and I had four kids under seven, and they were, you know, there seemed to be the same sort of things cropping up, obviously, as I had. Now I know that that's because our gut health is passed on to our children. And we're probably living in the same toxic environment and eating the same foods as our children. So they were very similar to me. And as things got harder and health issues got worse, I started digging deeper. And I had heard a bit about the importance of gut health for brain health, but I didn't really understand it. And I started going to a chiropractor and a naturopath at about the same time to try and figure things out. And that's when everything changed for me, because they just really focused on gut health and nourishing foods and, you know, the more natural approach, and not just throwing medications at me or, you know, supplements or powders or things. It was more about, let's look at your food. And my naturopath really started to explain to me the importance of gut health for brain health. And that was still early days when it wasn't really well known. That would have been 20 years ago. Wow. Yeah, it was sort of in the back of my mind. Yeah, so the kids were having health issues. And then my third child, Isaac, he was the one that was the most sensitive right from the start. You know, he would scream, he would cry. He was very happy and outgoing, but it was the extremes. You know, it was the, and all these socks make my feet feel weird, and so cry and scream and can't go to school, you know, all that kind of stuff.
My listeners will be nodding along going, yes, that's my child. They all understand that. Yep.
Oh my goodness, it's so stressful trying to get them out the door in the morning. And I'm just thinking, what's going on? Why is he so anxious? He started having phobias of really weird things, like the little girl down the street for no reason, and all these phobias started cropping up, and almost like it was kind of like he was having panic attacks, but also he was really scared of things that we couldn't see, but he thought he could see. It was so really, really weird stuff. And I didn't know what was going on. And I remember one night just sitting there thinking about it all and researching online, as mothers do. And I found some information about OCD, and I started reading that, and I was like, oh my goodness, he's got every single one of the symptoms. And so I took him to the doctors and said, I think my son has OCD. And so the doctor went through all the checks and everything and said, yeah, severely OCD. said, okay, you need to, you know, get to the psychologist, and this is what we're going to do, and blah, blah, blah. And he's going to go on antidepressants. And I was just like, wait, he's 13. Like, I just don't, like, I want to try and do this naturally if possible. And she just was like, but I kept thinking to myself, I'm sure there's something to do with gut health. I've heard that there's something to do with gut health, that the health of the gut really affects how the brain works. And so gut health and mental health are completely combined, and I need to look into this more. So I did everything the doctor said, and we started going to the psychologist and getting the medication and all of that. But meanwhile, I was researching madly, talking to every natural health practitioner I knew, which I spoke on stage with a lot of them at health events. So I had some really good people to pick their brains, and they were all like, yep, gut health. You've got to work on his gut health. That is the biggest thing at the moment. And one of the ladies that I talked to suggested the GAPS protocol, and I was like, oh, I feel like I've heard of that before. So I started researching that, and yeah, it's a bit of a long story, but randomly a friend had someone come to his restaurant who had a special diet, and he got chatting to her about it, and it turned out to be this GAPS diet, and she put her name and phone number in the guest book at the restaurant. So he rang her and said, I need you to help my friend. And so she rang me, and then she basically coached us through GAPS, and it was unbelievable. Basically pulling back the foods to really, really simple, nourishing meat and veg kind of meals, nothing crazy, and just really working on getting all the nutrient dense foods in that we could. And taking out the foods that were difficult to digest. So sugary, starchy foods, refined foods, anything like that. So just a very traditional, basic, simple diet. And you wouldn't think that that would do much, but it completely changed our lives. And learning about gut health, that's where it sort of really took off for me, just really focusing on gut health and understanding what the body biologically needs for good health and how the gut heals and what foods you need for the gut to heal. Within a couple of weeks, we started to see a difference in Isaac. And within probably 2 months, he was back to his really happy sort of character. And it was just amazing to see the changes that happened really quickly. It did take him nearly a year to get off medication because he was scared to go off it. But once he did, he never looked back. Mm-hmm. That was when he was 14, and he's now 22 and just doing great. I think most of it was the food side of things, but there was other things that we did as well, of course.
Yeah.
So the whole gut health journey was a big it was something that I just fell into because it was something that we had to do. It was like a desperate need. And, you know, with that feeling where you just research day and night and do everything you can to get your child well. And now that's what I really love to help people with, because I know how powerful food is for healing.
I love how throughout that whole story, there was just these little like signs of it, like intuition was just calling you, just saying, gut health here. And
definitely.
And then when you listened to it and followed it, and amazing that he had such a quick recovery process. Like, I don't think that's necessary. I want to make everybody realize that's not always, it's not always going to improve within a couple of weeks to a couple of months. That's phenomenal. Yeah. Can you share a little bit? I know I've heard you talk about some symptoms before, like he was at the point where you were spoon feeding him and things, weren't you? So can you talk a little bit about the changes of kind of what it looked like for your family before you started and then how he's going?
Well, he went downhill sort of, it became, first it was the anxiety and being super sensitive and strange sorts of phobias and fears. And at first I remember thinking, oh, I wonder if I've gotten a bit slack with the food. Because, you know, when things are going well, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, well, 80-20, and then it becomes 50-50. and then it becomes a roller coaster. Whenever I pulled back the diet and made sure it was really healthy, and for us the trigger foods were dairy, gluten, sugar, vegetable oils, if I pulled those back and was really careful with the food, he'd pick up again. And then I'd think, maybe that's coincidence, because I didn't read that anywhere. Like you say, it was intuition, and I just kept thinking, does that even make sense? And so then I'd be like, well, he can have a little bit of dairy, surely. And then, oh, well, you know, he's at grandma's, he can have biscuits. Oh, well, he's out with his friends, we'll just let him have pizza or whatever. And then he'd go downhill again, and then he'd all feel anxious again. So when he got to the age of 13, he'd been through a lot of these roller coaster, you know, moments we had. But by the time he was 13, the OCD behavior had really started by then, and we were noticing things like he was very addicted to Minecraft, you know, the classic Minecraft computer game, and I would only allow him an hour on the computer a day, but all the time that he wasn't on it, he was thinking about it, he was drawing it, he was discussing it, he was planning for his next time on the computer, like it was just always in his mind. And he finally said to me one day, Mum, I feel like I can't stop thinking about it. I feel like I can't stop thinking about Minecraft, and I think I should just stop playing it. And I said, okay, that's probably a good idea. So he stopped, and next day was when everything snowballed. And I think the Minecraft was a bit of a crutch for him, and I think often online games are for kids, like computer games. It sort of staves off the anxiety, and it's a bit of something to super focus on. So that prop was taken away, and suddenly he just crashed. And it was like he started having he started having sort of panic attacks where he felt like rocks were closing in on him. They were like the Minecraft rocks, you know, the big gray rocks. And he would just be in the middle of the room screaming and throwing his arms around and trying to push the rocks away. And he'd be looking beyond you, screaming, looking at something, and you'd be turning around going, "What? There's nothing there. What's the matter?" And it's like he could see stuff that you couldn't see, which really freaked me out. Mm-hmm. He couldn't have anything touch his teeth when he was eating, or it was like a rock clinking against his teeth and he'd throw the spoon or the fork. So I'd have to spoon feed him because he got so stressed, and he had, because it was OCD, he had to have certain, you know, everything had to be done a certain way. And if it wasn't done that way, he had to start over. And so he started repeating all the actions, seatbelt going off and on for 15 minutes, trying to get him out of the car, covers going off and on for 15 minutes, trying to get him to go to bed, up and down the ladder on his bunk bed. You know, he couldn't just go to the toilet. He would be closing and opening the door for ages, flushing the toilet over and over, turning the light on, off and on and off and on. And I didn't know. Yeah, it was just really crazy. And I just couldn't understand what was going on at first because I didn't really know that that was OCD. I thought OCD was washing your hands a lot and being scared of germs, but mm-hmm. it's a lot more than that. So yeah, when, you know, when he had moments where he could talk it through, like there was sort of moments where he could talk about it and moments where he was so engulfed in his fears that he just couldn't make sense. And he would say, "Mom, I feel like I'm in another world and no one else is in this world with me and I can't get out of it." And it was just, it was really horrible. And so I just spent so much time holding him and just hugging him and talking him through it and helping him through these moments, and a lot of prayer and a lot of talking and a lot of cuddling and a lot of crying to my mom. And yeah, spoon feeding, dressing him, taking him to the toilet, trying to get him into bed, getting up in the middle of the night when he started screaming. So once he started, one, the medication, and two, the diet, I feel like the medication dulled things down a little at first. And I'm not really I wish that we'd started working on all this stuff earlier so that he'd never needed the medication. But it was so quick, the change. And I remember saying to the psychologist, it was probably a couple of months in, and I said to her, "He's doing so well. He's skipping whole sections of the CBT training and like he's just not needing it. Like he's going so fast and he's so happy. And now he's got a job at the supermarket and he's working at the checkouts and everybody loves him because he's the most cheerful, chatty kid." And I'm like, "Is this the medication that's doing this? Because if so, it really scares me to take him off it because we want to get him off it. But what happens if he goes right back to where he was?" And she said, "It's not the medication." She said, "Usually the doctor's doubled the dose by now. He was on like a quarter of a tablet and he was, you know, not having much." And she said, it's whatever else you're doing." And about that time, he was asked to speak on stage at a big health seminar. And he was 14 at the time. And he may have been still 13. And he was so eager to share his story because of how much better he felt. And he got up on stage and talked to 200 people and did some cooking. And the psychologist came to that and she was just she was really happy. She was like, "Yes, this is what is doing it. It's this, what you're doing with his gut health and his food." She was so pleased about it. And then, within another few months, I think within 6 months of starting this healing diet, he spoke on stage to 1,000 people with me talking about his story and just like bouncing off the walls. He was so happy to share. And this is a kid who hadn't been able to go out and hadn't been able to hang out with his friends or have sleepovers or go to parties or anything because he was too afraid. He was always at home. So huge change, huge difference. And I know it does take longer to work through all of this. So even though we saw big changes, he still has struggled, obviously, with OCD throughout his life, but he knows how to cope and he knows things that he can do to make it calm down, and he also doesn't have to fight it like he did before. and he knows that certain foods trigger anxiety for him. He's very careful about sugar still and vegetable oils and that kind of thing because it triggers anxiety. So it's been something that he took on board and started researching for himself even at 13. Yeah, he's done a lot of speaking with me on the subject because he just thinks it's so important that people know the change that food can make for you.
Wow. My listeners have got younger children and they're umming and ahhing about this idea of if I do something where I have to restrict any form of food in order to heal, they're really worried about the long-term impacts that that will have on children's often what it's quoted in as their mental health and their cravings and their inability to manage food, because there's a lot of discussion in the respectful parenting world about how, you know, you shouldn't put too many boundaries on kids with food and you shouldn't restrict things because then they're going to want to crave it more. And I just, this story for me is so important for parents to hear for that, because Isaac's taken this and gone, this is how much better I feel. Exactly. So now I'm not living at home with mom and I'm still doing all of these things. And I think for parents to hear that is so important, because they're often got younger kids and going, oh, I'm a bit nervous about saying no to the cake at the party and I'm a bit nervous about this. But this is an example of a kid who goes, I know I feel better, and so I'm going to take that on myself, which is the exact opposite of what everybody's scared of.
It was so empowering for him. There's a little story too that I should add here. When he was still in the depths of it and hadn't started working on the diet, and I was still researching what to do, we knew he had OCD. We knew we needed to work on gut health. We were looking at gaps, but we hadn't gotten very far yet. And I remember one night he was laying on the floor just sobbing, as he mostly did. And I was desperately looking at stories of other people's journeys online. And I found this story of a guy who had severe OCD and what he did to heal and how his life changed and how he was working in a normal job now. And I read the story out to Isaac, and he listened, and then he just stopped crying and he just sat up and he said, "You mean people can get better from this?" And I said, "Yeah, they can." And he just stood up. And it was like day and night change. He was like, right, I'm ready to do this. What are we doing? And then I started, you know, sharing with him the things online and books and things that showed the different stages of healing with the GAPS protocol and how to work through it and what foods you're allowed at different stages. And so then he was so onto it that if I accidentally gave him something that he wasn't supposed to have, he'd be like, no, Mum, I can't have that yet. I have to wait until I've had this and this, and I'll be like, oh, okay, sorry. It was very empowering for him to have, I guess it was kind of like he had something he could control, and that was his food. And I know that you don't want them to get an over fixation on food, but I'm a pretty flexible person with food. Even though I'm very much about healthy eating, I'll find ways to make it enjoyable and flexible. And I think that's a big part of it. Like when you're going to parties, make something really delicious with the foods that they can have that they can also share with their friends. And then it doesn't feel like they're missing out. It feels like they're sharing something they love with their friends. And then their friends start going, this is so yummy. I wish my mum cooked like that. And so we used to get that kind of thing from his friends all the time. And also him explaining to his friends why he needs to do this diet for the moment and that it's not forever. And that he will be able to have ice cream again one day, but right now he can't. That really helped. And he does, you know, now and then we all have something when we're out, like ice cream or this or that, that we wouldn't usually have at home. And he's fine because he's built up that healthy immune system and gut health now. Yeah. But when he's just generally eating, he doesn't have the, you know, the sugars and the starchy refined foods. And it just really has helped. And he says, I just couldn't go back to eating the other way.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. I love how you've mentioned that nuance that, yes, of course, we don't want them to get to that point where he's fixating and controlling. No. That becomes his new obsession. But it sounds like he's got a really beautiful balance now, and he knows how good it's made him feel. And you've been able to do that along the way in such an intuitive and powerful way, where you've been able to, I love how you say that, like cook the things that they can have, that they still feel like they've got something really exciting and nourishing. And
there's so many amazing ways to healthify your recipes. And that's why I started my blog, because I wanted to show that favorite recipes could be made healthier without saying, oh, well, I can never have that again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's been, we've had that with so many of your recipes, like your marshmallows. I've taken your marshmallows to many different events for my kids, because that's something that's, yeah, that is fun for them and exciting. And
yeah.
Okay. So what do you, you know, you've walked this path, you've had this obviously huge change with Isaac, and yet you're through the other side with a gorgeous, healthy child who's adult, who's, you know, really doing really well. What do you think the most important message is for parents who are more at the beginning? They've got young children, maybe they're seeing some signs of anxiety or emotional challenge or behaviors. What do you wish that you could share with them?
Well, I know what I wish I knew when I was a young mum with little ones is, just really working on these things while they're young. I promise you, it's so much easier when they're young. Once they're out and about and at school or with friends, or, you know, they're at the age where they want to eat whatever their friends eat and nothing else, that's going to be harder. So start young, getting those nutrient dense foods in. And it's wonderful seeing my nieces with their babies, starting with things like meat stocks and pate and egg yolks and good fats and sauerkraut. That's their first foods. And it's just like, it's so amazing. I wish I'd known all this at their stage, but at least my kids will know. And my nieces and nephews, you know, are heading that direction too, because they've seen the difference that it makes, not just in our family, but in their own health as well. And just, yeah, start young with getting those foods in, because you're developing their tastes, and make it a wide variety of foods while they're young. Like, don't fall into the trap of thinking kids only will eat chicken nuggets and spaghetti. You know, have you seen that book? I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's about French children don't throw food or something like that.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. It's like, it's
true. I was in Italy a couple of months ago, and my friend there has 4 small children. We went out for dinner to a little home restaurant, as you do in Italian villages, and the kids were eating steak tartare with truffles. They were eating with the raw egg yolk on top. They were having things like pate and quail and they were eating everything. One of them was 3. And I was like, this doesn't happen in Australia very often, but it can. It's just how you start them, you know, start them on those nourishing foods and a wide variety of nourishing foods, and don't get sucked into the trap of, well, just give them, you know, cake, lollies, chicken nuggets, whatever, because that's what kids like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a big journey. And I think a lot of the families listening are probably they've probably already started that, and they're probably at that 5 to 7 year old. And so you said you had 4 children. Did you get them all on board with Isaac's healing journey? And how did you go about that? Because I'm imagining a lot of my families that are listening have got one more sensitive child, and they're like, but what about the other kids? So
going back to answer that, I'll just go back to your last question too, about what's the most important thing to start with. Food is super important, but before you can get there, you have to work on relationship. And I think if you don't have that close relationship with your kids, that they love you, they know you love them, you enjoy being together, they want to please you, they want to do stuff with you, it's going to be harder. So working on having that close relationship and doing things together and enjoying time together makes it easier, because when we got to where we really needed to do this with Isaac, I sat down and explained it to the other kids, and because of their close relationship with their brother, they didn't want to do it. They wanted to have bread and cereal and all the cakes, which we do have cakes on GAPS, by the way, just healthier versions. Just in case anyone's worried. And chocolate. So they, you know, my eldest daughter would have been about she was, I'm trying to think how old she was, maybe 17. And she, I remember her running to her bedroom and slamming her door. She was so angry that she couldn't have bread. But once we sat down and explained to them, this is why we're doing it. Isaac needs it because this will help him to heal. We need to all do it together. Mm-hmm. They all agreed to do it and they all did it. And we worked on having a healthy, healing diet for 2 years, and everyone sort of supported him, really supported him. Like India made up a chocolate biscuit recipe for him that became really popular online. They all did it for him. And then now they all thank me for it and say that was so good for us, because there was health issues with all of us that we didn't realize were gut health related, that were gut health related, that resolved during that time for us as well. Things like candida and snoring and sneezy histamine stuff and runny noses and eczema and all these other things started resolving for us while Isaac was healing. So yeah, my husband was the hardest to convince, and I think that's often the case. One of the partners, he was like, this is too harsh, this is too hard. He was always the one buying the kids the lollies, you know. So he was like, this is really, you know, oh, I don't even think this will work. But he went off to visit his mum in Perth for a few weeks, and that's when we started. And by the time we came back, it was sort of flowing nicely. And it just took time. And I feel like if you've got older kids that don't want a bar of it, work on your health and your diet and your cooking and, you know, all the things that you need to do, and reducing your stress levels and all those things, and relationship with the family. And then as you can, get those healing foods into the family within the meals that they already love, just bringing those foods in and adding them to meals, and then slowly changing things little by little without making a huge fuss of it. And that's sort of the way I do things, that more gentle approach, and it seemed to work.
I love that story about how the siblings were just on board. Like, yeah, they had their big emotions. They got frustrated, yeah, of course, like, of course. But they just, yeah, like you said, that connection that you'd been obviously fostering for many years before had really, really been what was so crucial in them being able to get on board. And I love that, because I talk about that on the podcast all the time, is that attachment is what makes them want to be like you. It makes them want to follow your direction. It makes them want to do the same things as you. Yeah. And when you protect that attachment, then, and hard things like this come up in your life, you can pull together. And that's just, I just think about that as a sibling, like both as Isaac and the other siblings going forward, having that story of this is what we did as a family. We just kind of pulled together, and it's so powerful.
They're really close. Even now, they spend probably most days of the week together, or like on the weekends, they're all together. Like, they're, so the eldest is 26, then there's 24, 22 and 20, and they spend most weekends all together, going to the beach with their friends, going, you know, having dinner at Isaac's house or barbecue at my house, or they're always together. They're very close. And I think that difficult journey that we went through drew them closer. It's hard and horrible at the time, but there's a lot of benefits in the end if you can work through it. Can I just say one more thing? Sorry, I just didn't want to scare anyone with the whole diet thing, but I've seen a lot of families who didn't go quite as hardcore as we did also really improve just by adding in healing foods to what they're doing now, and not particularly doing GAPS, but using the principles of healing foods from GAPS and adding them into meals. And even that has made a huge difference, just going whole food and adding in good healing foods.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing to really constantly remind people. And I've had to say that too, because my gut healing journey with my own family, my own kids, has been quite significant. And I always say to friends, it's not necessarily going to be like that for you. We're in a very unique situation. There's lots of things that you can do that aren't going to be what we had to do. So can you share about your cookbooks and your classes, and how can they learn about adding those little nourishing foods in and making the cakes that you make that obviously everybody wants to have.
Well, if you're feeling like you really are overwhelmed and need help with your gut health and with the both the cooking side of things and like maybe nutritionist support, I do run an online program with a nutritionist and her whole team of naturopaths, health coaches, Chinese medicine practitioners, all of us together. And we do that 3 times a year, and it's an online program. It's 8 weeks, 8 weeks live, but 12 months access. So it's basically we've gone through and given people very simple steps to begin with. And so you, like the first week, all we work on is reducing stress. Mm-hmm. So we work on slowing down and reducing your craziness in your calendar and making the evenings a calmer time where you're more organized for the next morning and basically creating space in your life for change. Because if you if your life is constantly chaos, even the smallest food changes are way too difficult. Mm. So we work on calming the chaos first, and then we work on adding in one thing. Okay, this week we're just going to work on making a meat stock and adding that into meals, and this is how we can do it. And we do live videos once a week, which you can watch later if you can't watch live. There's videos already recorded, there's ebooks, there's downloads, workbooks, all of that kind of thing. So you can sort of do it at your own level and at your own pace. And we call it a bit of a choose your own adventure gut health course, where you can just add in the things that suit your family and your season of life and at your own pace, but we're there to support you. And you can ask questions all through the 8 weeks. And it's just been amazing to see the changes from that. Mm-hmm. Within 8 weeks, we see big changes in families, but also there's a lot of people that 8 weeks is a time of incubation. Like they're just mulling it all over, understanding it, picking out a few things that they can try, but it's really just thinking it all through and getting a grip on it. And then over the next 12 months, we'll start hearing stories from them going, oh my goodness, this has really clicked for me. Now I'm doing this and it's so much easier. And so that's been, yeah, something we've been doing for 5 years now and had so much good feedback on, yeah. So the next one of those, it's called the Gut Health Formula, and the next one starts on the 6th of October.
Oh, great. Okay, so I'll link that below. I'll get that link from you, yeah. And we'll link it below so people can just click straight through.
And if you just want a cookbook and you really just want to do your own thing and add some good healing foods in, my Simple Healing Food Cookbook would be the best one. That one is completely gut health focused. It's actually all GAPS recipes, but don't be scared. They're just yummy recipes.
Oh, yeah, I've got that one as well.
They're good. So that's sort of the, if you know, it's got a section in the front on gut health and some ways to start making changes. And then every single recipe in the book is suitable for people that are working on gut health. Mm. And otherwise my blog, and also probably going on to my social media. So Instagram, Facebook, you know, if you watch the little stories there, most days I'll do some cooking in my stories and just show you what I'm doing during the day, or post pictures of my meals, because I know people get overwhelmed trying to figure out, well, what can I have for breakfast that's healthy and simple and not cereal. And so I just take a photo of my meals most days and put them up so people go, oh, that's easy, I can do that. And having those little reminders each day seems to be helpful for people.
Yeah, I agree. It is. Especially when you're really trying to change your framework of thinking, like, you know, if you have always been used to having cereal and now you decide that that's not what you want anymore. It really takes a lot of inspiration and visuals and different ways of seeing things to go, oh, okay. Because it's like food's obviously so cultural, isn't it? Like many people around the world will have soup for breakfast, for example.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas for many people in Australia, yes, we do now too, but for many people in Australia, that's a very hard shift to concept. Make. And so seeing somebody do that is.
Yes, that's right. And I usually tell people, well, just start with eggs, because at least that's still considered.
That's still normal. Still a breakfast food.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing yours and Isaac's and your whole family story.
You're welcome.
It's it really needs to be spread. And I really appreciate that you and Isaac are so open and able to share that, because I know that there's going to be so many families who have probably heard this a little bit like your intuition. It's coming up. And I've mentioned it 4,788 times. And now they've heard your story. And I just think it's going to be a really important piece for people to hear. So, and I'll link all of those things below so people can find them easily.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I hope I didn't like chat too much, but I always enjoy having a discussion about this. It's my favorite topic.
Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag me at Raising Humanskind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly, and together we can raise humankind.